Do you know what I listen to a lot of the time? I sit down and I listen to, well, basically everything out there. But some of the things that I really keep in mind to look for, Gamers Radio, Binary Revolution, and have you guys listened to Newsreel with Sean Kennedy?
Yeah.
If anybody out there who's listening to this is not listening to Newsreel, you absolutely, in fact, Kobar, didn't I just tell you to listen to this while you were at work?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I did, because you're sitting at work with nothing to do, and you're bored, and you have a computer, and nobody's really watching what you're doing, and they don't care.
Because of my three walls.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Your little cubicle. We're going to call you Peter Gibbons from now on. But I'll tell you what, Newsreel is the shit. I wake up every single morning, and I kind of count on it being there. And as soon as I can get some cash together that is not dedicated to some bill, I'm donating that money to Rant Radio, okay, and to Sean Kennedy for doing Newsreel. He does this show 5 days a week. It is the news. He is on top of what is going on, and I really, really, I mean, this is the best thing that's ever happened. 5 days a week, okay? This weekly bullshit, this is fantastic. I love listening to stuff every week, but if I could listen to something every day, that's one more piece of the pie that is coming into alternative media from the TV or from the newspaper and the magazines I see at 7-Eleven. Of all this bullshit media, every time I go into a goddamn supermarket, I'm looking at fucking Katie Holmes and goddamn Tom Cruise on the fucking cover of Star fucking magazine or whatever the hell bullshit it is. It's a fucking tabloid that's $2 up there that I don't give two shits about, but I have to fucking stare at while I'm waiting there for the old lady to write a goddamn check, okay, for 69 cents for a goddamn lemon. Okay? It's fucking bullshit. Instead, I could be listening to something like Newsreel, where I'm hearing things that actually matter, listening to things that affect my world and things that I actually care about, or things that maybe I haven't heard about and should care about. And that's everybody needs to listen to this show. This needs to be, Newsreel is the recommended fucking listening for this goddamn fucking millennium, alright? I'm gonna change that on the website fucking today.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Friday, June 17th, 2005. One more week down and a million more to go. Do not worry, it is the joy of the battle for which we thirst for, because we are WOGs, and that is what we do. Life will always be a trial, so you have Newsreel to help give you a play-by-play as the WOG counterculture defeats the evil of corpolitical tyranny. And what is that corpolitical tyranny? That corpolitical tyranny is media. It is all of the loss of our rights. It is the loss of our personal freedoms, and that is why we call it corpolitical tyranny. And it's corpolitical, corporate, and political. The corporate interests in our political world. Never mind the division between church and state. Let's get rid of the division between state and merchant. That's what I say. We should always make sure that we keep those people who are trying to make money away from the people who are trying to make our society run smoothly. So that way we get away from corporate fascism or pharma fascism. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. Not only that, but if you're hearing this for the first time and you know of another radio station that you think should carry Newsreel, well, it's real easy for them to carry it. We'll just give it to them, no problem. We're just trying to get out there. We're trying to get the word out to the rest of the people so we can get some sort of sense of unity for all the counterculture. We want to get everyone marching together. We don't care if you march to the same drum or to the same beat or whatever, but we should definitely all be marching in the same direction because that's what unity is all about. Let's get straight into this feedback here. Dear Sean, Do you know of any benefits of price gouging? Well, the number one benefit is, of course, that you know, the people who are doing the price gouging, other than going directly to hell, are pretty much making money. Oh, and by the way, to your question, do you feel safe about having tests on viruses and et cetera near you? This is in retrospect to after the post 9/11 world. There's all these little companies that are doing you know, work with Ebola viruses and all sorts of really weird viruses and plagues and shit like that. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of these things that up until, you know, a few years ago never touched these things. And I'm a little worried about the safety procedures that are going on in these labs where they're fucking around with viruses that'll wipe out half the Eastern Seaboard. You know, that's just me, not me too, you know, paranoid here, but perhaps, you know, I believe a little bit of tactical safety is a good thing. And anyway, he goes on here, do you feel safe about having tests on viruses and et cetera near you? If I didn't, I would move. That's the libertarian way. Don't regulate, move. And that was from Mobile. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. The whole libertarian thing of if you don't regulate, move. Well, eventually, you know, you're going to be moving and moving and moving and moving, and no one ever takes a stand. You see, there comes a point when somebody does have to get violent, and that is unfortunate. That is unfortunate, but it is also undeniable. It is unfortunate and undeniable because you need to have soldiers. You need to have people who are willing to stand up and fight. That is what you need to have. Now, it is unfortunate that that is the case, that violence is the supreme authority from which all other authority is derived. And when you start talking like that, people get a little bit trippy. You know, they're like, whoa, Sean, where are you going with this? Where are you going with this, buddy? You're not going to, no, don't worry. I'm not raising no armies and nothing like that. But when one shows up, believe me, I had my fun in the sun. I've got no interest in trying to, you know, lead people in any kind of a militaristic sense. That's not my gig. I tried it in the regular culture and I tried it in the counterculture, and I'm just not that good at it. You know, I'm a good cheerleader, but I'm not that great as a tactician. So, you know, I could probably get by in a pinch situation, but generally, no, not my ball of wax. But it's realistically very soon that's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these Delta Force guys and high-speed, low-drag operatives are over there watching their buddies die in this desert war over there. Don't be afraid of the counterculture there, Donald Rumsfeld. Don't be afraid of the counterculture there, current ruling party. What I'd be worried about is all these soldiers are going to be coming home. What do you think is going to happen when, you know, all these guys have been geeking people 24-7, come home and discover that their country turned fascist on them? Do you think they won't care? Do you think they'll go, well, you know, whatever, I'm part of the ruling party, so who gives a shit? No, I think there's quite a lot of patriotic Americans in the army, call it a guess, and when they realize that their country has turned into the Nazi party that their grandfathers and fathers fought against in the Second World War, perhaps somebody might take a stand. Maybe, just maybe, you really will have a Washington sniper and not that sorry, sad sack shooter that you had before. If you guys really did have a sniper in Washington, wow. Talk about a target-rich environment. But not only that, you never catch the guy. Not if he was professionally trained. And correct me if I'm wrong. If I got any military guys here talking to me, there's a lot of people saying, Sean, that's dangerous talk. Yeah, but it's also the truth, you know. Realistically, I could totally see someone coming home from the desert war all fucked up and decide to take it out on the government. And that's what I think is going to happen. And that's not terrorism. Okay, that is not terrorism. That's vengeance. There's a real big difference there. Terrorism is doing random events just to get your point across. Vengeance on a level like this is on a very individual scale. There's going to be a lot of lone shooters, I think, coming up in the next few years. You just wait. Now, on the one side, I sit back and I go, wow, that's absolutely horrible. That is an absolutely terrible thing that is going to have happen. They're going to have crazy people. No one's going to win there. But on the other side, it's kind of cause and effect, you know? Like, if you sit there and you start murdering your own people in foreign countries and putting them in situations where they have no, you know, idea what the hell they're getting into, when they have to put on, you know, media, when they have to ask for donations from your people, like adopt a sniper and things like that, where these snipers are over there and they don't even have the gear and the equipment to do their job, and the American people have to support the snipers, I mean, my God, what's happening to all of our money? What's happening to the, you know, the military budget that we're spending billions and billions of dollars on? Isn't that supposed to be used for killing people? And if it's not being used for killing people, where's it going? Is it lining the pockets of Halliburton or what? Not that I'm a big fan of people of war or anything like that. I hate war. It's a totally horrible concept. But I am adult enough to realize that it is pretty much inevitable, and we are always going to need soldiers. Incidentally, if you think I've got a hard-on for law enforcement, and a big hello to all my law enforcement brethren out there, I've got twice the hard-on for the soldier. I really do. I mean, soldiers are really, probably, arguably, one of the most honorable human traditions, really. I mean, we've had soldiers since the dawn of time. People go, oh my God, John, I can't believe you said that. Well, you better grow up. I'm all for having Buddhist hippies and everything like that. That's great. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think they're beautiful people. I think they should raise lots of families and teach children that violence is bad. But you had better have a great big fucking dog on a leash somewhere in case, you know, you get someone who doesn't particularly agree with your particular freedoms. in case you do have some people like Louis Farrakhan, like all these crazy terrorist organizations out there that just decide to, you know, play a race card or play a religion card or play a hate card of some type and decide that they're going to start killing people. That's when you need to have the army, you know? And people just, they don't want to live in a world where they realize that force is an actual authority that needs to be reckoned with. They want to go with this whole, you know, crystal flowers, huna huna, meditation chant thing. Sometimes talk is not enough. That's just my own personal stand. Dear Sean, on your idea for taking the army out of Iraq and have them crush organized crime, they can't, period. Because of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, the U.S. military cannot act as a police force for America. Here's the section. Section 15. From and after the passage of this act, it shall not be lawful to employ any part of the army in the United States as a posse comitatus or otherwise for the purpose of executing laws, except in the cases under such circumstances as such employment of said force may be expressly authorized by the Constitution or by an act of Congress. And this is how we have, you know, the U.S. Marines, you know, responding to protests and things like that. And no money appropriated by this act shall be used to pay any of the expenses incurred by the employment of any troops in violation of this section. And any person willfully violating the provisions of this section shall be deemed guilty of a misdemeanor and on conviction thereof shall be punished by a fine not exceeding $10,000 or imprisonment not exceeding 2 years or by both such fine and imprisonment. That was sent to me by Sergeant Tibbs. Now, okay, that's great that we've got this Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. And last time I checked, there was this treaty we signed with Canada. You know, Canada and America, we signed a treaty called, I believe it was the Treaty of Versailles. You know what? I may have just totally stubbed my toe there. I've got that in the head. Give me a break, okay? It's 6:30 in the morning right now where I am, so I'm kind of trying to remember what the name of the treaty is. But there was a treaty that we signed at the end of the Second World War. I don't think it is the Treaty of Versailles. It's a different treaty. Whereby the treaty said that if America declared war on a country, Canada also declared war on that country. It was this, like, big communal treaty thing going on. Well, obviously, Canada violated that because we decided not to go to war in Iraq. For a good reason, I might add. But, nevertheless, that treaty was violated. And quite clearly, when you look at this, you know, if they're going to play the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 as their card as to not why to deploy the army against, you know, the plague of organized crime in America, well, you know, maybe unless, of course, they have a constitutional act. So, if, you know, if they did a war against organized crime, which would probably be the most, at least that's a target, at least you have organized crime because it's, well, organized. At least then, if you were to do that, you could probably get Congress to sign that into law. Yeah, they couldn't do it right now, but there is a clause in there to allow them to have that happen. That's just my own personal point, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of other problems that need to get solved before you turn the guns on the bikers, but, you know, never mind. And incidentally, I shouldn't actually say the bikers because, you know, there's a large amount of organized crime that's got absolutely nothing to do with bikers. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with guys riding motorcycles and having motorcycle clubs and, you know, riding around and getting drunk and, you know, pissing on public monuments and spray painting walls and stuff like that, getting into fights. You know, all that stuff's great. That's all, you know, the kind of good American stuff that you would kind of expect to find in America. You know, you don't like it, don't show up, don't ride a bike. But the thing I have a problem with is bikers getting women hooked on drugs so they can turn into hookers. That's that. I got a problem there. I got a problem with, you know, all these mass amounts of super hard drugs like crank, like PCP, like everything else all coming out and getting people hooked on it, methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, you know. These are all bad things. So to say, now, normally, of course, you know, the stereotype is the biker gang, you know, all the evil shit that they do. And yeah, there are some evil biker gangs out there. There's also some evil Chinese gangs out there. There's also some evil Japanese gangs out there, Vietnamese. There's also, in Canada, here we're in Surrey, we've got vicious Indo-Canadian problems where, you know, they you know, people come over from India. And there's a lot of people from India that are just the most gentle, beautiful people around. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, Mother India, there's like so much spirituality. All spirituality, could be argued, came from India. So, you know, there's a lot of people over there who are pursuing spiritual pursuits. And that's great. That's fantastic. You know, I mean, that's what life's all about. You're on your own journey, and that's cool. However, there, because it is such a poor country, we do have a lot of organized crime in India, as well as, you know, syndicated sort of, you know, crime families and stuff like that. And that's all coming over, too, and it can't be avoided. And it's not a race card. You know, I get that all the time at work. People are like, you know, you can't come in here because why? Because I'm brown. No, it's not because you're brown. It's because you were carrying a gun last week and you're trying to sell cocaine. That's why. You know, and when you make a card like that, then the next thing people do is they make death threats and then they storm off. You know, I wonder why everything has to be a racial issue. In Canada, well, anyway, for me in Canada, I equate race to eye color. It really doesn't matter to me what your eye color is. So it matters to me even less what your race is. What it matters to me is what you do, you know? Anyways, dear Sean, I've never thought about questioning you. I thought about the question you asked concerning why biker gangs and the mob are not considered terrorists. Well, there we go. We got another one here. I think I have a pretty good hypothesis. Lay it on me, big guy. I could be paranoid and say everyone in power has been bought off, but I don't think that's wholly the case. I could get really paranoid and say law enforcement wants real big boogeymen to scare bigger budgets out of the public. But again, I don't think so. Well, that's probably accurate, though. There's probably some truth to that. I could get Alex Jones level of paranoia and say our global masters want to set... Oh, I got to do it in the Alex Jones voice. Let me see if I can do Alex Jones here. I could get all Alex Jones level of paranoia and say our global masters want all the chaos possible so the world comes down from on high not to bother them too much. But again, I don't think so. So, you know. Then I think the reason these gangs are driven into on the profit motive. They are ultimately the dark side of capitalism insofar as they will flagrantly operate outside the law without the benefit of a veneer of respectability like many transnational corporations. The minute risk outweighs reward, or at least when that fact sinks in, the gangs move on to easier profits. Real terrorists don't operate on profits. Not as a goal anyway. The money is just a tool to further the cause. Terrorists are driven by conviction, a motivation our society doesn't comprehend near as well as consumerism or capitalism. Since we understand the gangs, we're not as afraid of them. We fear the much greater unknown. I don't know if this makes sense to you or if it makes sense to sound like a viable explanation, but it looks like a good possibility to me. Thunderspud. Well, there is a thought that, that's very well spoken, Thunderspud. You betcha, buddy. You know, you look at stuff like this and you say, well, you know, terrorists are driven by conviction. No. The guy on the ground with the bomb on his chest who's been horribly manipulated and brainwashed, yes, he's driven by conviction. You can bank on that. But the dude's pulling the strings, okay? The guy's further up the chain. You can bank that this is guerrilla politics. That's exactly what it is. This is the bloodiest form of politics. And just as, you know, Hassan back in the day was making his assassins by feeding them hash, dropping them into an orgy with a bunch of women and then claiming that that was heaven and when they die for his cause, that's where they go. That's brain programming. That's exactly what that is. Same thing Charles Manson did. Took a bunch of women out into the forest, fed up a bunch of acid, pretended like he was God, had the gift of gab, and next thing you know, he's got himself a completely bloodthirsty cult. And he's cutting babies out of people. Not so good. So when you look at that and you go, well, you know, terrorism, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, you are correct that, yes, there is conviction driving the man on the street and the terrorist motive. You know, they actually believe that what they're doing is, you know, for the holy righteous, the holy cause, and all the rest of it. They didn't think that up on their own, though. They got that fed to them by people who've been working on the technique of creating brainwashed, subservient psychopaths. That's their function. Does that take the onus off the guy with the bomb on his chest? No. No, I mean, he eventually did make the choice to put the bomb on his chest, but there are people out there who can subscribe to you all kinds of drugs that affect your mind and open you up to ideas. You are just a computer, after all, and if people use all sorts of medications and drugs and whatnot to get rude on you, well, hey, that's a problem. So anyway, moving right along here. To my dearest Sean, as a gay man, let me first say you have a very sexy voice. I love to just lay back in bed and listen to your voice. Thank you. But seriously, I've been meaning to write to you ever since in a series of stories about us gay folk, and I think I would share a little with you, okay? On sin, you might want to check out religioustolerance.org, which has a lot of references to the possible interpretations of Leviticus 18:22, which is a range anywhere from really being about the Egyptians who had ritualized gay sex as a fertility rite, or you can have gay sex just not with in your wife, not just not in your wife bed. Ah, I see. It is not a sin if you are the top, i.e. the sin to be the submissive role. Another thing I think to do is ask if they wear jeans, mixed pirate clothing, or if they take their mold to the rabbi. Also, that's in Leviticus. Okay, well, whatever. Generally, Leviticus doesn't really bother me because that falls into the whole mud hut religion category where, you know, I'd like to kind of move past the Bible, whatever. On parades. Well, you asked why. Yes, true. You know, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, and a lot of straight people do. A lot of straight people come out and they say, well, you know, we don't have the straight parades. We don't go going down the street march and saying, you know, I like, you know, my wife. You know, that doesn't really happen. So, you know, and I could also understand why these folks you know, why these folks? That's how it starts. When you say things like, why these folks? That isolates the gay community. You can't do that. You say, why folks? But I'm a victim of programming just like everyone else. As a matter of fact, I should confess, if I'm going to confess this, because, you know, there could be someone from my high school that show up. When I was 14 and 15, I was terrified of gay people. I went on this huge homophobic hate roll. I may have even said this before. I used to think there was human rights and homosexual rights. You know what I mean? And I was using the Bible to cite it, so I know all about homosexual hatred. Oh, yeah, you betcha. Could write a book on it. But the thing is eventually, and amazingly enough, the thing that changed my mind on all that, I'm embarrassed to say, but, you know, whatever, got the job done, was the film Philadelphia. Maybe look, you know, whoa, hey, maybe this whole thing is kind of, you know, just hating people because of a few choices they make when they're not really hurting anyone and everything's consensual. I don't know. It's a little bit bizarre. But anyway, back to the parades. Well, you ask why. If we are so focused on getting married, why do we have such parades with naked men and women celebrating? Well, there are three reasons for this. One, Aristotle said, the virtue is the mean of two vices, basically arguing for balance in all things. This is a great way to explain the pride parades. If we are trying to make nice gay married couples safe for America, we must expand what we call virtue to include something we would have previously called vice. By being so public and open, we expose America to the parades, naked men, porn stars, dykes on bikes, and those two quiet guys living down the block in the nice house have some well-groomed front yard don't seem so bad anymore. Well, that's an interesting point. Number two, well, some of us really aren't that interested in marriage. Maybe this is because we never got into the model relationship behavior when we were young. Maybe it's because we're just always taught that gay sex is a sin, so we rejected the church marriage and all that goes with it. Maybe some of us aren't cut out for it. And number three, gay people are just fun. Hey, you have said it before, so I won't really get into it too much, but I will advise a test. Go to a straight bar. Order. This is the test. This is the gay test. Okay, here we go. Go to a straight bar. Order a mixed drink. Then go to a gay bar and order the same drink. The gay bar drink will usually be significantly stronger. Some of my friends that go to the local gay bar have actually told a couple of the bartenders who pour weak drinks there, they pour like it's a straight bar. Laugh out loud. Being a fanboy. Anywho, on a personal note, I hope that you found the comments at the beginning to be funny as they were intended. And he goes on, talks about what's going on. He's off to DEF CON. And name withheld on my call. Why am I withholding his name? Well, because, you know, gay people are persecuted. They are. It's kind of sad and sick and weird, but they do. And, I mean, there are some states in the United States where gay people just can't live. They can't live there. Why? Because they'll get killed. They'll get hung by the neck until dead. And that's a little bit unfortunate. Because, don't get me wrong, there are people who need to be hung by the neck until dead. But I don't think gay people are one of them. On to the news. Right off the top, Dead Code sent in some protest news. As a matter of fact, Dead Code sends in just a wad of news. Like, Dead Code is one of these hardcore news hounds. But anyway, there's a lot of them out there. I'm going to try to, you know, put a little bit more focus on the people in the beginning of the stories for the people who send me these news stories. If I don't say the person's name, by the way, when I do the start of the news story, that probably means that I've already said their name before in the newscast, so I don't want to keep saying Dead Code, Dead Code, Dead Code, Dead Code over again. You know what I mean? But generally, if you don't hear a name on there, it either means I found it or it's somebody else has already found it. So you know who's got the credit. Anyway, in protest news, a ban on noisy protests outside Parliament in England will cover a half mile zone as far out as the London Eye, the Home Office has confirmed. The new law aimed at unauthorized protests in Westminster, such as Brian Hawes' four-year anti-war vigil, which MPs have complained is an eyesore. That's great. An anti-war vigil is complained as an eyesore. If you think a war vigil is an eyesore, wait until you go take a look at a war. But it will also cover St. James Park, much of the South Bank and Charing Cross, to Lambeth Bridge from the 1st of August. Critics say the zone goes much further than was originally intended. Now, personally, I think the whole idea of a protest, a permitted protest, is just ridiculous. Okay, a protest is supposed to convey your unhappiness with the government. So if you have to go get a permit to have a protest, it kind of gets rid of the whole point of the protest, doesn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems a little weird here. Trafalgar Square, the traditional venue for protests, is not included in the exclusion zone. Well, that's handy. So, you know, you've got your free speech zones there in England. But Parliament Square has been the scene of several high-profile protests from the guerrilla gardening event on May Day 2000, clashes between police and pro-hunt campaigners last September. Throughout it all, Mr. Haw has been sitting surrounded by anti-war banners, occasionally using a loudspeaker to attack the government's policy in Iraq. He leaves to attend court for the as-yet-unsuccessful events to evict attempts to evict this guy. Now, this guy, Mr. Haw, has been sitting out there for, I guess, 4 years. Okay, you think that I'm a badass doing a five-day-a-week show? No, 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 no. This guy here, Mr. Awe, this guy is the badass. He's sitting there for 4 years? Whoa, dude. Although, through it all, Mr. Awe has been surrounded by anti-war banners, occasionally using a loudspeaker to attack government's policy. Wow. He leaves only to attend court for the yet unsuccessful attempts to evict him from the area. Badass. Some MPs say his protests are an eyesore and his loudspeaker distracts them from their work. Like you fucking people work. There are also concerns his piles of placards pose a security risk. Yeah, they might get up and start killing people. All these signs. Although they are regularly searched. But unauthorized protests by one person are outlawed under the powers granted to Home Secretary Charles Clark and the Serious and Organized Crime and Police Act passed this year. Unauthorized protests by one person are outlawed. So, an unauthorized protest by one person. That's interesting. So, and if it's an unauthorized protest by one person is outlawed, does that mean unauthorized protests by two people are in law? And who cares? They're just going to pass more and more laws to make protests more and more illegal. It doesn't really make much sense now, does it? I mean, when you think about it, what is the point of the protest? Really? And they should be lucky that they're just protesting, because if they keep going with these policies, what do you suppose is going to happen? The protesters are not just going to go away. They're not going to stand back and go, oh, okay, I guess my kids have to die in a desert war for core political interests. I mean, you know, I love them and everything, but I guess if that's what has to happen, that's fine. Can I have my pills? You know, that's what they want. That's what everybody wants. That's not what I want. And I'm damn sure that it's not what you want either. So the question remains, what are we going to do about it? Are you going to sit there and become a vegan for Jesus? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to, you know, meditate for the higher consciousness of the good? Or are you going to do something? I don't know what, but something. We've got to act is a big part of action, okay? So you've got to do something. Sitting around waving a sign, you know, smoking shit is not going to make a difference. You have to get out there. You have to get involved. And unfortunately, the big way to get involved is to apply finances. I get ideas all the time. I get ideas all the time. The what if I was rich clause, what if Newsreel took over the universe kind of a thing and I wound up getting like huge listenership, thousands of dollars every month. What would I do with that money? Would I go buy myself a Beamer, hang back and pretend like I'm all bling bling cha-ching? No, I don't think so. What I'd probably do is move to Vancouver Island, set up the scariest commune in existence, probably, running on a military role. I'd be taking in war vets from all over the world and helping them set it up so that we could actually create some kind of Heinlein-like society. That's probably what I try to do. Now, people would listen to that and they'd say, Sean, you are crazy. Maybe. Maybe I am. I'm okay with that, you know. But what I do want, and the nice thing, this is the thing that I always like to come back to. You know, people go, you know, you got the two extremes. You got the war hawk, you know, the total, you know, into, you got the war magazine subscriptions and everything, you know, got the gun collection and all that going on. But you know what? These people generally want peace. They just believe peace is achieved through firepower because they refuse to deny the obvious truth that, you know, really the supreme authority is force. And then you've got the Huna Huna crystal hippie crowd smoking shit, right? Who are generally beautiful people, amazing cooks, and they can, you know, live their lives and they make music and art and all that sort of jazz. What I would love to see is I'd love to see some kind of a union between these folks. What if we got all the hippies rather than protesting the soldiers? What about the returning soldiers when they came home from Iraq? Imagine this now. What if these returning soldiers came home from Iraq and they met a wall, a sea, okay, of gentle, you know, what they would call hippies. These people who are all about love. They don't want to do any kind of violence whatsoever. And the minute they stepped off the plane, the hippies were like, we love you. It's okay. We understand you've been through hell. We want to help you. We want to, you know, heal you. We've got food. We've got all these different theories. We've got energy work. We've got Reiki. We've got all this shit. They will only help pull all this evil that you've sucked into your body because you were lied to. The soldier is not the enemy, okay? The hippie is not the enemy. These are people who are being used as pawns to keep America separate from each other. The day the soldier steps off the plane, the day the female soldier steps off the plane and falls in love with the male Buddhist, that's the beginning of the new America, I think. When I think of the brave new world that doesn't go into after now, I see a world where you've got people who are willing to stand up and fight, but only to preserve the peace of their own convictions, to make sure that their own life and liberty is not taken from them. The soldier is not useless. He is not evil. He is not bad. The soldier is necessary to preserve the freedoms that those of us out there in the higher intellectual frame who think that, you know, we're so smart and all the rest of it, if you've got a great policy and you've got a method for living in peace, you're going to need a way to protect that. You're going to need to protect it not just from physical enemies, but from the psychological enemies, from the core political who sit out there and they pump all sorts of violence and lust and everything else all out through the media. Through what? Through the television. That's why it's called television programming. You know, sometimes over here, I feel like I'm really beating a dead horse. But it seems like the horse isn't dead because it's taking one of the riders of the apocalypse straight into this millennia. Into the fag-killing news, Texas Republican Governor Rick Perry on Sunday insinuated the state's lesbian, gay, and bisexual war veterans should leave the state if they are unhappy with recent anti-gay marriage amendments introduced there, according to a Service Members Legal Defense Network. During a news conference held in Fort Worth Church, Perry was asked what he would tell Texas gay and lesbian war vets returning home from the war about the law. Governor Perry responded, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, by saying, quote, "Texans made the decision about marriage, and if there's a state that has more, more lenient views than Texas, maybe that's a better place for them to live," end quote. Service Members Legal Defense Networks today joined calls by the Lesbian and Gay Rights Lobby of Texas for Governor Perry to apologize. More than 66,000 lesbian and gay veterans make their home in Texas. And Sharon E. Greer, SLDN's Director of Law and Policy, quoted as saying, "The service has defended the freedom. Their service has defended the freedom of every Texan, including Governor Perry. The governor's remark dishonors their service, and he should apologize immediately. We should be thanking these brave and women, not asking them to leave." Well, I mean, they got a point there. You know, does it really matter whether or not a soldier is gay or lesbian on the battlefield? Yes, there are some certain, there's certain logistics that get involved there. But when you look at it, I mean, there's a lot of people would point to the Lambdas in the Roman Empire. The Lambdas was a gay Roman legion. Everyone in the legion was a homosexual. And a lot of the, you know, the homosexual underground and stuff like, well, homosexual underground, a lot of the gay community talks about the Lambdas. Because they were feared, okay? These guys, because of their unity and connection with each other, these people would fight so hard. Well, if you think about it, would you fight harder to protect your best friend? Or would you fight harder to protect your girlfriend? You know, from a straight perspective, would you fight harder to protect your wife or would you fight harder to protect your buddy? Well, it's kind of a no-brainer. You probably, no matter how tough you are, you'd probably fight super badass to protect your friends, and that's not the point. It's not that you don't fight hard to protect your friends. You might fight at, like, level 10 to protect your friends. But the minute you're protecting your wife, that turns into sort of a something different. That turns into, like, a deep racial memory thing, and I can bank that you might find yourself with a little bit more energy than when you started with. Now, that last story, that was from Seeker. And the story before, keep on forgetting to give in fag killing news. That one was sent to me from Seeker, which I think is very, very cool. And I try to, you know, when I call it the fag killing news, because that's what they want to do, really. I mean, cut the shit. They're already talking about putting stamps back on them, right? Pink triangles for you. You don't like it, get out of our state. It's okay to be gay, just don't put that in your mouth. In Scientology news, and this was sent to me from Slipstream, Tom Cruise. Oh, Christ, you know, Tom. You know, this is really the end here. Tom Cruise has hired a woman Scientologist minder for his girlfriend Katie Holmes as she promotes her film Batman Begins. Now, Tom, who's 42, said to insist that Jessica Rodriguez goes everywhere with Katie, who's 26, who's converting to the religious cult. But sources say she disrupts interviews and interferes with the actress's schedule. Of course she does, because, well, she's a minder, which means she looks after Katie Holmes' mind, which means brainwashing. This is a really bad move by the church. Like, I honestly thought Scientology would be smarter than this, but I don't have to do a goddamn thing. I don't even have to say anything about this. One said, "Tom pays Jessica to keep Katie on the path," end quote. "She goes everywhere. She says, I'm Katie's best friend, but she's only known her for 6 weeks. Warner Brothers bosses denied any quote-unquote discord. Well, you know, this is about the most obvious cultish thing you can imagine. Not even the church does this shit. You know, when you've got people walking around with this woman trying to make sure that they're all like, la, 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 la. Don't think on your own. Don't think on your own. You got to keep with church ideas. Got to keep with church mentality. Don't think on your own. For God's sake, stop thinking. You know, Tom, eventually, buddy, you're going to have to come out of this. And when you do, you know, give me a call. I'll see about making sure you get some meals and shit, because when you fall off, buddy, the church isn't going to be there for you, man. You're going to wind up getting burned out on the street. You're going to wind up, you know, basically screwed, glued, and tattooed. You're going to wake up wet, confused, and sticky. I'm really sorry, Tom. I really am, and I hope that, you know, you can bail out of this before your head goes completely up your ass. And you know what? I don't even hate Tom Cruise. I used to. I used to think John Travolta and Tom Cruise were a couple of fucksticks. But now I realize, just like all the other Scientologists, they're good people who are being manipulated by an evil idea. And it's very important to make that distinction. You should never, ever, ever, ever become violent towards a Scientologist unless you're protecting yourself or the people you care about. And I mean protecting them from a physical attack. You know, but generally, when you look at this idea, the best thing you can do is probably try to, I don't know, show these people that there's a better way. Maybe show them that what they're doing is damaging their lives. They're being used and farmed. I mean, realistically, Scientology is a lot closer to the Matrix than it is to anything L. Ron Hubbard wrote. They're eventually going to create these machines that farm their people. What a great method of, you know, politics and capitalism. Just fantastic, really. I mean, you got to give it to them. They got a great meme. And not only that, they keep their teaching secret. No one can talk about their Bible. So that way, no one can point out all the glaring, gaping, monstrous fucking holes in their faith. Unbelievable. And they claim that it's people's right to come in and give them all their money. That, oh my God. In robot news, also from Seeker, the San Francisco Chronicle reports that Waldo, a robot that delivers medicines at the University of California San Francisco Medical Center. Remember this one? I talked about this guy. Well, Waldo went berserk. Waldo shot past the pharmacy and barged uninvited into the examination room where a radiation oncology department were, according to an anonymous caller. The doctor was examining a cancer patient, the paper's columnist wrote. According to the caller, Waldo wouldn't leave and startled the doctor and the patient felt obliged to flee the room. Many believe the robots will be used to perform dangerous and menial tasks in the future. But that's what people thought in Planet of the Apes movies, in the Planet of the Apes movies. And look what happened there. Well, that's an interesting article coming from a pretty big rag. But I think that Waldo barging into the room there, maybe, you know, they didn't say who the person was in the patient. Were they naked? Was it a hot chick? Was Waldo after the hot? Because robots may be after women. You know, getting back to the originals, you remember back in the 50s, it was always like the robots always grabbed the scantily clad chicks. And I think maybe they were onto something there. Maybe we need to make sure that robots have beautiful women around them all the times. Conversely, robot technicians need to have beautiful women around them at all times. Just for the safety of humanity, for the safety of mankind, I believe that everywhere there should be robots, there should be at least 5 or 10 scantily clad beautiful women. That's just my own personal viewpoint, and I'm sure there's a lot of people down at MIT who'd back me on that. There is some scientific theory for that. Perhaps we could get a website up about that. More scantily clad women for robots, for the safety of humanity, and for great sake. And in Cyberpunk Kit, we got some crypto phones. Remember the other day, this was from Syntax, the other day I was talking about, you know, there was that Russian phone that came out, and I was looking for some crypto phones that were available in America, because I didn't know there were such a thing. Well, server provided through Syntax, you betcha. Crypto phone, the first secure mobile phone that comes with a full source code. Listen to this one. That comes with full source code available for independent review is now available. Finally, you can perform an independent assessment to assure there is no weak encryption, no backdoors in a device you entrust your telecommunications security to. This is a brilliant idea. You don't have to believe us when we say it's secure. You can verify the claim for yourself. The crypto phone is not a black box device with scarce technical information like other products on the market. We will give you all the details of its inner workings even before you buy it. The crypto phone enables you to put your trust where it belongs in a trustworthy, open, and scientific verification process. It's called the CryptoPhone 200 Tri-Band. Okay, and the point in the bullet form here, what it does is it's the strongest and most secure algorithms available today, so I guess you can upgrade it. It uses AES 256 and 2FISH, 4096-bit Diff-Hellman key exchange with the SHA-256 hash function. Well, that could be hacking a little bit. There's some news on that. Readout hash-based key authentication, 256-bit effective key length. Encryption key is destroyed as soon as the call ends. The source code is available online for independent security assessments. Also supports unencrypted calls, unencrypted SMS address book, calendar, etc. Works in any 900, 1800, and 1900 GSM network that provides data call facilities. Has a standby of 150 hours. And has a talk time secure up to 3 hours and 30 minutes. And an unsecured up to 4 hours. Now, this is a pretty sweet piece of WOG phone kit. I would have to say, that if I had the bucks and I was going to buy me a phone, this one here looks like the WOG phone to purchase. Now, the only reason why I say that is because that's the best one I've seen. So if you know of a better phone out there than this one, you let me know, and I'll throw that into the Cyberpunk kit bag. You betcha. And keeping in theme with that, another story from Dead Code is crypto news. Cryptographers have found a way to snip a digital signature from one document and attach it to a fraudulent document without invading the signature or giving the fraud away. This development means that attackers could potentially forge legal documents, load certificates or load certified software with bogus code, or turn digitally signed letter for recommendations into one that authorizes access to provide to private information. Digital signatures are used to authenticate website connections, emails, legal documents in some countries. They work because of it, they are unique to the file or software that is signed. They are created from the contents of the signed file. Therefore, if someone tries to cut the digital signature from one document and stick it to another, the signature fails because it no longer matches the document. Kind of like a checksum. But now, Stefan Lux of the University of Mannheim and Magnus Daum of the Ruhr University Bochum, both in Germany, have come up with a way to create two documents that both have the same digital signature. The attack exploits the recently discovered holes in a type of publicly available algorithm called the hash function. Now, that's interesting. I wonder if that would affect the phone thing here. These algorithms convert a digital file into a fixed-length string of bits made of zeros and ones called hash, which is considered unique. The hash is then bound up with a digital signatory's key to generate the signature. The signature is verified by a trusted third party that removes the key and compares the remaining number to the hash document. And from there, we go barreling off into the crypto world. So apparently, it seems that crypto isn't as cryptic as we thought it was. Seems there's a lot more going on with crypto these days, and it's important to maintain this when you're doing things like having to make phone calls that you believe are secure, because everyone does have the right to privacy, in my mind, anyway. And in defending scientific openness, and this is from Stephen Aftergood at Secrecy News. Now, that's an amazing newsletter. If you want to stay on the, you know, Pig Monkey switched me onto it originally. But if you want to check out, you know, just a really good Secrecy newsletter where you know what's going on, and these guys really do a lot of work. There's apparently a paper talking about defending scientific openness. Openness in scientific research, and this is, again, something that shows the idiocy of intellectual property, openness of scientific research is vital to national security and must be preserved, according to a distinguished panel of senior scientists and former national security officials in a new report. So basically, everybody who's who in the zoo has said, whoa, we need open scientific research. With the exception of research that is properly classified for the national security reasons, i.e. I'm going to make a virus that will kill the world, dissemination of other scientific research should remain unrestricted as far as possible, the Commission on Scientific Communication and National Security said. This policy, quote, does not assert that the open dissemination of unclassified research is without risk. Rather, it says the openness in research is so important to our own security and to the key national objectives that it warrants the risk that our adversaries may benefit from scientific openness as well, end quote. The authors discuss in turn each of the five mechanisms of control of scientific information, classification, expert controls, sensitive but unclassified controls, statutory restrictions, and self-imposed restraints on publications. The result is a concise and clear-eyed perspective on a perennially conscientious issue. Now, for those of you out there, because there's a lot of people saying, Sean, I'd like to, you know, get a report on. I'd like to do some stuff for school. We want to do stuff about, you know, intellectual property and media rights and stuff like that. This paper here is a fantastic source for inspiration for exactly that. Because what we got here is they're talking about openness in scientific research, and you can look at that. And realistically, that is intellectual property. So for those of you out there who are trying to, you know, get some points out in school and get some papers together, that's a pretty powerful document and a very current document for you to use to your advantage. And in a cyberpunk story, in homeless Yakuza news sent to me from Termisa Coil, an underground society is emerging among Tokyo's homeless, living beneath the shadows in the capital's skyscrapers and its parks, according to Shukan Jitsuwa. Just recently, there's been a rapid increase in the number of former Yakuza gangsters who become homeless, a writer familiar with the scenario tells Shukan Jitsuwa. And they're really aggressive, flashing their tattoos, scaring passersby, and lording over the homeless to do whatever they like. For many Japanese who have associated the Yakuza with wealth, even if the result is ill-gotten gains, the idea of a gangster living on the streets is close to unthinkable. But a number of homeless Yakuza inhabiting parks and living under bridges apparently skyrocketing, especially in central Tokyo. Nearly all of the homeless Yakuza guys who've just got out of prison to discover their gang they belong to before doing time had broken up while they were behind bars, the writer says. Without their gangs, the Yakuza can't get by. And that's the major difference between WOGs and criminal organizations. The WOG is the individual. He is able to get by on his own with no help from anyone else. Because if you cannot survive, if you cannot look after yourself, if you have to rely on the community, you are a drain on the community. We do not want a banding of people together to be tying each other down. We want to be a banding of a community together to be teaming each other up. If you can't look after yourself, you sure as shit can't look after anyone else. And that's why a lot of these protesters, who are like smelly, dirty hippies, who can't even, you know, hold anything down, they can't look after themselves, they don't have a place to live, they cannot be a functional member of society. These folks who are out there trying to make a difference, they should focus that energy on looking after themselves to get themselves so they can be taken seriously in the world around them. Now, in fascist youth, and sorry, let's try that again. In fascist youth news, now remember the Hitler Youth? Remember those guys? Same sort of idea. This was also from Terminus at Coil. It seems that Tarsha Moore stands as tall as her 4-foot-8-inch frame will allow. Staring straight ahead, she yells out an order for a squad of peers lined up at 3 perfect columns next to her. Having been in the military program for 6 years, Tarsha has earned the rank of captain, is in charge of 28 boys and girls in her squad. This is La Vizzo Elementary School. Tarsha is 14. She's been in since she was 8. The Middle School Cadet Corps program and the K-8 school is part of a growing trend to militarize middle schools. Students at La Vizzo are among more than 850 Chicago students who have enlisted in one of the city's 26 MSCC programs. At Madero Middle School, the MSCC evolved into a full-time military academy for kids 11 to 14 years old. That is fucked up. Chicago Public Schools are home to the largest Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps program, which oversees the MSCC in the country. When moving to high school, Chicago's graduating 8th graders can choose between 45 junior rank ROTC programs, including 3 full-time Army military academies and 5 school within a school Army JROTC academies and 1 within the Naval Academy. Proponents of the program tout its leadership training and character development, but critics quote former Defense Secretary General William Cohen, who described the JROTC as one of the best recruiting services that we could have, end quote. Rick Mills, the director for military schools in the JROTC from Chicago Public School System, dismisses these concerns. These kinds of programs would not be in schools if there weren't kids who wanted it. Well, that's a big load of shit. And parents who supported it and administrators who facilitated it. Well, yeah, obviously. Now, the thing is I'm a big Heinlein fan. And yes, there is a time when you do need to make men out of boys. And there is a time where people have to grow up and realize that, yeah, there is violence in the world and that everything is not all just, you know, love and chocolate. I recognize that. But you have to be very, very careful. The military, being as it is a bastion of force, is a very dangerous tool. And you also have to make sure that you're getting the right people in there. Now, I believe that there is an advantage to military schooling. Don't get me wrong. It does teach a certain kind of self-reliance. It does show what living in a structured society is all about. If nothing else, it shows whether or not you will fit within a military mindset or a military ideology. Now, being militant is not bad. Being militant gets shit done. Rank structure and all that, not bad. Okay? It allows for, well, action. It allows for combined action, and provided that everyone is educated, not everyone can have a say in a military society. Sometimes you just have to trust your leader, and you have to move forward, and that's a big problem. That's a big problem. That's where, you know, what if your leader's a psychopath? Well, you wind up with Hitler. But if your leader's not a psychopath, well, hang on now. I'm trying to think of a military society that was actually utopian, and I can't really think of one. So maybe military schools are not the best option. Maybe there's a way that we could take people who just don't fit within a hardcore peaceful society and create a military that's comprised of them. You see what I'm saying? People are saying, Sean, you're talking about taking psychos out of the world? Well, essentially, yes. If you're going to have psychopaths anyway, people who are not going to fit in with a peaceful, loving, education-based society, and there will always be people who want to go out and kill stuff and blow shit up, absolutely. Rather than hate them for it, let's let them do that. Let's give them the run of the military. And whenever there's any kind of a problem, we step back and we say, no, you can't invade America because, you know, we're really peaceful, loving people here. And they say, no, we hate you and we hate you for your freedoms or whatever the fuck the reason is. We hate you for this reason. We hate you for that reason. At that point, the politicians, based on love and joy and all that good stuff, step back and then they talk to the generals. And the generals step up and they say, right, what's happening here? What's our objective? The politicians give the generals an objective. The generals go out, meet the objective, probably within half a fucking hour, and then give it back to the politicians. This is the balance that is required. And in order to do this, the key to all of it, and the key to most things in life, I have found, is in fact discipline. Discipline is important, and that is something that nobody seems to talk about. If the counterculture and the peace culture were to get the discipline that you see inside of some of these monasteries in the East and stuff like that, that these monks have, if we were to get serious about it and really have the discipline, I try to have discipline to do the show 5 days a week. I try to have that discipline. I try to expand on that discipline. I'm constantly working to make myself stronger. I fail a lot. I fail early and I fail often, but you have to try, and that's the key. We can't allow ourselves to be dominated by the failure mindset that our schools teach. You have to maintain your own personal discipline, and it's different for everyone. Now, I got some good news here from Nalo Surath in Healing Victory News. Listen to this. Herbal medicine, acupuncture, and massage therapy. There was one time not too long ago when these things were dismissed by medical professionals in the United States as charlatanism, even though, you know, it's several thousand years older than any modern medicine. Today, though, more and more U.S. medical schools are incorporating so-called complementary alternative medicine, end quote, into their curricula, and it is a trend being both praised and criticized. On a recent Wednesday evening, more than 100 physicians from around the country gathered at Columbia University Medical Center for a five-day continuous education conference. Are there any specific questions about patients with HIV disease before we sort of wind up here? The moderator asked as session drew to close. The discussion had been whether HIV patients should be given dried echinacea, the flower that is. Indigenous to North America, it is believed that to many, the stimulant to be a stimulant to the immune system. We have two clinical trials on HIV with echinacea, a physician in the audience offered, with the antiviral agent, so the patient was on the medication. But it actually showed that those patients on echinacea fared better. Now, when you see this, this is exactly the kind of stuff that pharma fascism doesn't want in place. Because, you know, these pharmacom companies, they don't want us knowing what's going on. They don't want us actually learning that herbs and stuff that grows outside our houses could actually make us better. They don't want us to know that if we eat garlic every day, we won't get sick. Because then, well, think about all the money they'd lose. Really, it's just kind of common sense. And in Hacksaw News, now this is a great story to end off with. It seems that News 14 Carolina got owned. We had a story, this is from the article. If you go to the link, it's got pictures of what they had on the page. They had some great stuff there. They're like, you know, they hacked the screen where, you know, they got the scrolling stuff on the bottom of the screen during the Weather Channel and stuff like that. Well, they got a hold of the text and it was broadcasting. They had great stuff on there. Nothing really too political. It was all just childish nonsense. But it makes me wonder. Here, check it out. We had a snowstorm here in Rila, and all the news channels posted the business and the schools would be closed the next day. One of these fine organizations, Time Warner Cable's New 14 Carolina, was the most convenient but least secure method to allow businesses to report closings. The internet. Well, wasn't too long before members of the Wolf Web, an NCSU message board, exposed this flaw. They went crazy, as you can see in the photographs. The best part of the whole thing was once closing was accepted, it could be edited on the internet and would go straight to TV without being reviewed again. So a fake closing that seemed plausible for the first time it was shown could be outrageous the next time. Very, very funny. I wondered, looking at this, when you click on it and check out the links, I would wonder what would happen if they put deeper meaning on stuff like, instead of writing like, we owns you and all your base belongs to us, what if they wrote stuff on there like, the drug companies are trying to kill you, or maybe snatch your brain back, zombie, snatch it back and hold it. Things like that, you know? Your daily hack today is the portable virtual privacy machine, thanks to GMF Tatsujin. Carry your entire internet communication system on a tiny USB drive. Contains a complete virtual Linux machine on a privacy-enabled open-source internet application. This is all stuff that fits on one of those portable USB drives. Carries your internet applications, email, bookmarks, history, web cookies, downloads your files in your pocket. It's perfect for travelers. You got an English keyboard support no matter what. No installation is needed anywhere. You just plug it into any unit and you've got your complete setup right there. All internet session data is kept in there. Runs on any rewritable media. USB drives, flash memory cards, secure digitally, iPods, everything runs this thing. This PR1 release runs on Windows and Linux. The final version will also run on OS X. It runs in full screen mode. Includes Mozilla Firefox, Mozilla Thunderbird email. Just goes on and on and on. It's created 100% from open source GPL code and binaries. Very, very cool. Make sure you check it out, man. It's called the Portable Virtual Privacy Machine. Very hot for all those WOGs who need to travel. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to stand up and fight in a time of crisis. And they are Forleet, Alan, Druid Weissamaru, The Grey Gross, Drake, Weblife, Philip, Paradin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, and User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. New subscribers this month are Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. I'm really not kidding here. Special thanks to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. Now, if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by State of the Union called Impendium. Very cool. And I'm going to leave you now with a song that was dedicated to me and vicariously to you from Triad's new release. It's called The Rising. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.